Hi, and welcome to Jolly Fall 2021 podcast series. This is Wisnu, the Scholar Speak Out editor of the Journal of Language and Literacy Education, a peer-reviewed open access journal housed in the Department of Language and Literacy Education at the University of Georgia. Today, I'll be speaking with Meg Jones, who is a doctoral candidate at the University of Rhode Island. Her manuscript is titled Embodied Literacies of Sexuality and Gender of College Students. This article was co-authored by Anne-Marie Vaccaro, Ryan Miller, Rachel Forrester, Rachel Friedenson, Ezekiel Kimball, and Desiree Forsyth. Thank you for joining me today, Meg, and thank you so much for your contribution to Jolly. How are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you, and how are you?
I'm great. So Meg, you've written a powerful manuscript on embodied literacies in its relation to sexuality and gender. What draws your interest in exploring such topic? And why do you think it is such an important discussion for educators, particularly those in higher education context?
Well, thank you for asking that. And I find it interesting that gender identity and sexual orientation can be communicated not only through words, but through physical representations like mannerisms, dialect, voice, the way that we dress, and more. And queer discourse isn't just about spoken or written language and labels, but also about creating cultural meaning through auditory, visible, and physically manifested modes of communication. And with ever-expanding definitions of literacy, we can see these ways of reading and writing queer identity as being part of our literate identities. And so literacy is about communicating meaning, and that's what's happening in these spaces of embodied literacies of sexuality and gender. This is important for educators, and particularly those in higher education contexts, because young people and college students are in the process of understanding themselves in relation to sexuality and gender. So often there is a silent but normalized discourse of cis heteronormativity, and this is ever present in classrooms across K-16 grades. And so educators need to know about the ways that queer youth communicate their queerness in linguistic and embodied ways so that they can create more inclusive environments and more supportive responses to how students develop and communicate their own identities in classrooms.
That is such a powerful response and beautiful statement, Meg. So you are quoting Ahmed's work, 2006. I'm a phenomenologist, who I know, you know, Ahmed's work. I'm reading some of her work. And tell me about, you know, how Ahmed's orientation and disorientation help you illuminate the embodied literacies of sexuality and gender in your participants.
So you, being a phenomenologist, are probably very familiar with the piece that I cited, and that is queer phenomenology. And so in that work, Ahmed puts queer studies and phenomenology in dialogue with each other. And as an interesting aside, I found Ahmed's book, Queer Phenomenology, before my path led me to queer studies. I was originally looking for literature that would support some digital literacy phenomenons that I had questions about and was noticing in young people. I'd later realized that these noticings were a form of queer participatory literacy, which is my future work and body of work. And Ahmed is a large part of that understanding. But back to how orientation and disorientation show up in embodied literacies of sexuality and gender. When Ahmed puts queer studies in dialogue with phenomenology, we can begin to consider the physical and spatial concept of orientation in relation to orientation of sexuality and also gender. And we can start to see how we blur the space between orientation being representative of our consciousness in a spatial sense, but also orientation as how one turns towards or away from queerness. And so embodied literacies of sexuality and gender represent orientations towards or away from various aspects of queer identity, towards or away from how gender and sexuality are represented or how they might be seemingly invisible to those around us, or to quote Ahmed, behind the table. And so we argue in this paper that it's critical for educators to disorient themselves from cis-hetero norms so that they can, again, to quote Ahmed, arrive and orient themselves towards more inclusive practices of gender and sexuality, to find themselves in line and in dialogue with these topics and aspects of identity, and to engage in queer discourse in the classroom so that young people can find paths, also from Ahmed, that help orient themselves towards their own identities of sexuality and gender.
I'm glad you found Ahmed's work and incorporate her arguments in your work. I found Ahmed's work also powerful in my study in disability. So yeah, I'm just glad to, you know, to see how you interpret Ahmed's orientation and disorientation in the context of embodied literacies. So Meg, you wrote in your manuscript, you wrote, the language and labels used around and about a person are internalized into their identity and then put back out into the world as a written form of oneself. Tell me a little bit more about this, and what suggestions do you want to give to teachers and educators who are working with youth with minoritized identities of sexuality and gender?
So language creates and affirms reality. What is named can exist in our culture, and that's kind of borrowing from Judith Butler's work, right? So I personally grew up in a context where we didn't talk about gender or sexuality, except in invisibly cis heteronormative ways, of course. It wasn't until later in life, when I was in a different context, that I encountered language and discourse about sexuality specifically, and started to be able to relate to some of these concepts. And because of this, I personally came out later in life. And I sometimes wonder how my life would have been different if I'd been in an environment where the language used around me was inclusive and affirming towards minoritized identities of, in my case, sexuality. So aside from my personal experience, we know the euphoria that can occur when people find community and language that helps them identify in the world. Now, this isn't to say that ways of being in relation to sexuality and gender have to have language to exist. This is why queer and trans discourse is constantly changing. It remains as complex as those who relate within it. And this in itself is a form of literacy. To go back to S.J. Miller's notion of gender complexity and to extend it to sexuality, sexuality and gender are complex. And being able to navigate those complexities as a person who has a minoritized identity of sexuality or gender is a complex form of literacy, of being able to read yourself in the world, embody the language and cultural signs of your identity, and then to write and rewrite yourself back into the world as a form of community making, and further holding the idea of queerness to be complicated in the most incredible ways. However, in the research and as a research team in our experiences in schools, we have seen that many teachers struggle to even understand and utilize some of the basic aspects of language of gender and sexuality. So one of our first suggestions is always to start with self-work and knowledge. Learn about the various identities that exist or could exist in relation to minoritized identities of sexuality and gender. Next would be to learn the language. Learn the difference between sex and gender, gender identity and gender expression. Understand that there's more to sexuality than gay, lesbian, or bi. Learn that sexuality and gender are separate aspects of identity, though they do often overlap in increasingly complex ways. And lastly, to respect an individual's identity. Something that I always share when speaking with educators and students is that you don't have to understand someone in order to be respectful and even supportive of who they are.
I love that. I couldn't agree more, you know, whatever you said right there. I do, you know, I was reviewing your manuscript or reading your manuscript, and I learned so much about, you know, sexuality and gender in its relation to, you know, the embodied literacies, how these identity actually show in the ways of being in the world, the way they, you know, present themselves in the world. I love your manuscript. So Meg, what are two things that you want your readers to take after reading your manuscript?
Well, first, we hope that readers will hold space for the complexity that I've talked a lot about in relation to minoritized identities of sexuality and gender. to understand that these are aspects of identity that can be fluid and are always valid. And the language we use to talk about sexuality and gender needs to remain just as complex and fluid over time in response to the needs of individuals. And second, this is just one of my favorite things to share. In the manuscript, you know, we shared some experiences that participants may have found difficult in their youth. And we hope readers will remember the joy that is found in the queer and trans communities. There is so much to celebrate about the people behind the manuscript and the words. And I always want to remember the joy.
I love that you brought up joy, you know, and basically reminds everyone, not only the teachers, but also researchers, to also explore the joyness of this community. I think that's what, you know, Dr. Paris, Alan, and everyone, you know, suggested, to really explore this joyness of the society, not really centering into, you know, the damage center research, because we've been too much exploring what these people are feeling, what, you know, their hurts, their struggles and everything, but we don't really know what makes them survive, you know, what joy do they have in their lives so that they can survive in this life. Thank you so much, Meg, for, you know, your time. And thank you so much for speaking with me today. I really encourage everyone to read your manuscript. This manuscript is so powerful. And listeners, to read this manuscript, check out Jolly's Fall 2021 issue to be published in December 2021. I'll see you again. Thank you so much.
Thank you.